The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. Read from the Holy Gospel according to John. There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus at night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you are doing unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, many say to you, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man once grown old be born again? Surely he cannot re-enter his mother's womb and be born again, can he?" Jesus answered, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What is born of flesh is flesh. What is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I told you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it wills. You can hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord. Yesterday was a very beautiful day because we celebrated Divine Mercy Sunday, which was the crowning point of Easter. Easter, which actually lasts 8 days. But given that it was Mercy Sunday, celebrating Easter, consequently, we couldn't celebrate the saints that we would have celebrated that day. And actually, yesterday, there's actually three saints that we would have celebrated yesterday. And I'll tell you them. Saint Peter Chanel, which is our patron saint. Then Saint Louis de Montfort. You've heard of him, I think. He gave us true devotion to Mary. And a saint who died when I was 6 years old. Saint John de Beretta Mola. Those are the three saints that we celebrated yesterday. St. John de Beretta Mola, she gave up her life for her little baby. She had a tumor, and the doctor said, "Had an abortion." She said, "If you have to choose between me and the baby, save the baby." The baby was born, she died. And John Paul II canonized her, and her husband was present, as well as the little girl that she gave up her life for was present. A unique canonization. Okay, 20th century, who do you think were the two greatest people to live in the 20th century? John Paul II? Mother Teresa? I agree with you. <laughs> 19th century, obviously John Bosco, right? How about the 14th century? Obviously, the saint that we celebrate today. This was the greatest person that lived in the 14th century, and this person, of course, was Saint Catherine of Siena. So let's talk a little bit about the greatest person of the 14th century today. Catherine of Siena was one of 25 children. So people come to me, "Well, Father, I've got two children, I can't have a third." Baloney. Baloney. Can you imagine sitting at the table of Catherine of Siena, her father, "Pass me the spaghetti, whatever your name is," right? Do you think they had name tags back then? Talk about openness to life. This is a really good saint that goes against contraception, right? And she was the last. She had a twin sister, and twin sister died, but she was the last of 25. What would happen if mom and dad said 5 is enough, no? We would not have one of the greatest women who lived in the world. St. Teresa of Avila said that after the Bible, the person who helped her most to grow in holiness was Catherine of Siena. How one saint helps another one to become a saint. Her last name was Benincasa. She was born in a city of Italy called Siena. That's where her name is, Catherine of Siena. When she was about 6 or 7 years old, she had a vision of Jesus with St. Peter and St. Paul. And from that moment on, she decided to give herself totally to God. Totally to God. When she was just a child that would be making her first communion. But what happened was, when she got a little bit older, 11 or 12, she started to give in to vanity. Her sisters said, you ought to, you know, dye your hair and, you know, walk, try to become really beautiful because one day you're going to marry a beautiful man. And she already made a vow of virginity. So she was already being moved in the wrong direction into vanity because she was a very attractive girl. God intervened. He intervened in this way. An untimely death. Her older sister died in childbirth. That hit her like a ton of bricks. So she decided, from that moment on, she was really no turning back. So she became a Third Order Dominican. If you see pictures of her, you see her sometimes dressed like a Dominican nun, but she was not an official contemplative Dominican nun, but a Third Order Dominican nun. So she lived in her house. And what she did in her house was she spent long hours in prayer, meditation, and penance. Her parents didn't like this. Especially her mother didn't like this, because there was a lot of work to be done in the home. Imagine if you've got 25 people in the house, and one of the daughters spends a lot of time in prayer. Obviously, they're not going to like this. So they disturbed her and said, look, you can't be doing this. So what happened was, she was given a mystical grace to understand that wherever you are, if you're living in a state of grace, God is living within you. So she created the interior cell in her soul, where wherever she went, she was aware that God was within her. You can do the same thing. You can. Wherever she went, God was living within her. Teresa of Avila would go on to say, call that the indwelling of the Blessed Trinity through grace. So she spent the first part of her life, up until about 18 or 19, spending just a lot of time in prayer and fasting and penance. And she had terrible temptations. One of her most serious temptations was a temptation against the virtue of purity. She was assaulted by bad thoughts. And these temptations didn't seem to leave her. And finally, Jesus appeared to her, and she said, Jesus, where were you? He said, I was in the very center of your heart. She never gave in to these temptations. So by her late teens, she's praying, and Jesus says, now if you really love me, you have to start to go out, and you have to start to evangelize. So she started to visit the sick, and visit the poor, and she started to give talks, and people came from all over the place to hear this woman speak, and she had no education at all. She was totally illiterate. But she had one teacher. The Holy Spirit. Amen? That was good enough. Huh? Here you have a woman doctor of the church who basically had no education until the last years of her life. And she was attracting a lot of people because of her holiness. And that was a time when you have the bubonic plague and a lot of these serious illnesses that would decimate thousands of people. She'd go out and serve and help the sick and the dying and the poor. One of her greatest graces would be those who were destined to death, decapitation. She would encourage them at the very end of their life to repent. And when their heads were being chopped off, she'd be splashed with the blood of these people who were dying in this way, encouraging them to accept their suffering. Now, what's most important about Catherine of Siena is the following. She had a great love for the church. But the church in the 14th century was going through a very difficult time, such that when she was living, there were actually two popes at the same time, and then three. What does that mean? There are two false popes, because there only be one pope. And the real pope had left Rome to live in a place called Avignon, okay? Avignon is France. It's a southern town of France. So the pope was in Avignon, and Jesus spoke to her and said, Catherine, you have to bring the pope back to Rome. So she wrote letters, and she prayed, and she fasted, and finally, she brought the pope back to Rome. Among her great contributions to the church, was she wrote about 400 letters that were dictated, but also this. Catherine of Siena was able to compose, through the help of others writing it for her, one of the most important spiritual classics in the Catholic Church. Yesterday we honored St. Faustina and Divine Mercy. St. Faustina was the secretary of Divine Mercy. Whereas Catherine of Siena wrote what is called dialogues. What is dialogues? It was God the Father speaking to Catherine of Siena. Jesus spoke to Faustina. But God the Father spoke to St. Catherine of Siena. So in a world where we have so many problems with the father, the fatherless family, the dropout dad, the drunk father, the unfaithful father, this dysfunctional family because the father's not present, Catherine of Siena gives to the modern world a spiritual masterpiece. It's called the Dialogues. So if you do not know who the father is, that movie that came out a couple years ago, The Case for Christ, which they're talking about a father wound. Many people have a father wound. Maybe some of us have a father wound. One way in which we can heal the father wound is by meditating upon the prodigal son, number one. Looking at John Paul II as a model, but also by reading the dialogues of St. Catherine of Siena. If you read the dialogues of Catherine of Siena, you'll understand who God the Father really is. Two other ideas. In a short time, you're going to be receiving communion. Did you know that St. Catherine of Siena spent years without eating anything except the host? I'll say that again, if you weren't listening. She spent years just sustaining herself on the host. What does that mean to you? Is that we should have hunger for God more than anything else. It happened also with Padre Pio. Some of the saints are given the grace in which they can just be sustained on the body and blood of Christ. That was enough. And last but not least, You're going to notice in the life of the saints how much they suffered. You can't find a saint that did not have to carry a cross, and a pretty heavy cross. Padre Pio had 50 years. Catherine of Siena had the stigmata, but it was invisible. And after she died, then it became visible. Why did Catherine of Siena, why did she have the stigmata? Why did she suffer so much? Because she loved Jesus, but she loved the bride of Jesus, and that is called the Catholic Church. So Catherine of Siena was a woman courageous enough to correct the Pope, actually, correct bishops, correct priests. She was the one that loved the church, but she was willing to offer herself as a victim soul, her sufferings for the sanctification of the church. So now more than ever, we have to have modern Catherine of Siena's. Hopefully today we can consecrate ourselves to Catherine of Siena and beg this great saint to really do all we can to lift up the mystical body of Christ, which is called the Catholic Church. Saint Catherine of Siena, pray for us. Amen.